Kuzu Zangpula, I'm Sonam Yangjin. Welcome to the RIX podcast. According to the World Mental Health Report, governments worldwide allocate just 2% of their health budgets to the treatment and prevention of mental health conditions. Recognizing the gaps and limitations in improving the state of inner health for emerging adults, the Inner Foundation aims to build a better outer world by first focusing on building one's inner health. With a vision to accelerate new ways of investment in the global mental health crisis, Anika Sten-Parson co-founded and partnered at the Inner Foundation, a worldwide mission and impact-driven foundation investing in innovative solutions that unite public, private, and non-profit efforts to improve inner health. Anika is a social entrepreneur, investor, and board member with over 25 years of experience in various C-level executive positions and serving on boards of public and private companies. Anika, welcome to the RIX podcast. It's great to catch up with you since your visit to Bhutan last year. I would like to share with our listeners that I accompanied Anika during her week-long trip to Bhutan last year. And Anika, I had a great, wonderful time getting to know you as a person and at the same time getting to know all about your initiatives and projects that you are involved in. And today I'm particularly excited to be discussing on a very important topic that is close to your heart, as well as mine, of course, that is mental health. But before we dive any deeper, Anika, I must thank you for sparing your valuable time to join me today, because I know how busy and engaged you are. So it means a lot, Anika. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would say thank you also to you, Sonam. It's a pleasure to be on this podcast. And the week in Bhutan last year was in October last year was forever. It was in a fantastic trip. And I'm sure, I know for sure it's not going to be the last time I'm visiting your amazing country. And I'm looking forward to this conversation about something that is really close to my heart.
Thank you, Anika. We really hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
I remember discussing this with you once. That I feel most people who are passionate and deeply aware of mental health have a personal story or experience that led them to that level of understanding and empathy. But I could be wrong. Anika, what is your story? What inspired you to co-found Inner Foundation, which focuses on transforming the way we address mental health? Mental health issues today, especially for emerging adults.
Thank you. Yeah, that's an interesting and important question, because I think you are right that this is a very specific area with mental health or mental well-being. And I think my personal story is that from teen and up to, so during my emerging adult years, I needed some mental health support. So I went to see a therapist once in a while when I could afford it. And then I also was always interested in the conversation and to talk about it, even though I was not at all working with it at that time. So I had my own personal story as an emerging adult. And then moving into my adult life, I also saw it firsthand. You saw it as a senior manager, and then as a senior, more even senior or high level executive, that it's really present in the workforce, in the working life. But of course, also when I became a parent myself, my two daughters are now 20 and 23, and seeing their life and they growing up. And we are also a family which are, the sort of majority of our family are touched by adoption. I'm adopted and my two daughters are adopted. And that's also part of a mental health journey to address those opportunities and those challenges that comes with that. So that, I think that would be my personal story. Yeah.
Anika, thank you for sharing your personal story. When people, especially leaders and role models like yourself speak openly about mental health struggles, It sends a message that we are only human, right? And there's a lot of transformative projects that Inner Foundation has taken about, especially with emerging adults. What impactful outcomes or initiative of the foundation are you most proud of?
Thank you. Yes, I think maybe a few words about the foundation as it was founded now three and a half years ago. After a long career in the sort of in the corporate business side, I moved to New York in 2013 with our daughters and my husband, and I had an opportunity to a little bit change career. So I, instead of working in the corporate space, I became a CEO of a mental health clinic in New York City, addressing working with vulnerable women in New York and something called perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, meaning issues during anxiety or depression during pregnancy, postpartum depression, challenging things for all of us. And in addition, if you add on other vulnerability like socioeconomic vulnerabilities, it sort of it adds up, it multiplies. So during those years, it became very clear for me that this is not only an individual problem, it's actually a systemic problem in society at large. And having that knowledge, it became very clear for me that I kind of, it was almost like something I had to do. I said I need to see how I can, in one way or another, continue to support and be of some kind of adding some value into solving this problem. And it's not just a tiny problem. This is actually a mental health crisis. And I think that's important to sort of address that. It's not just here and there. This is something that we in society at large needs to address because it's so interconnected with so many other things in society. The education system, the workforce system, the healthcare system, the family system. And so after those years in New York, I moved back to Sweden and decided to go back to school and study for 2 more years. And I have a basic training certificate in, as a talking therapist. And then in parallel with that, I founded, together with an ex-colleague, an organization here in Stockholm called 1825 Therapy Center for Emerging Adults. And the 1825 is the age between 18 and 25, you can come to this center, and for very low, for hardly paying anything, you can come and you can see a therapist for as long as it's needed. It means that you can stay, you can come for 5 times, or you can actually come for 25 times. And the idea is that you, as an emerging adult, has an opportunity to talk through your situation and your problems, and some of them are more severe than others. And this organization has now been in session for several years, almost 5 years, and I'm very proud of it because it's so back to you, I guess, to your question. Having this opportunity to address emerging adults to be able to come to this center is one important part of the journey for us at the Inner Foundation, and that was actually the starting point to support this 1825 Therapy Center. And now, since 2022, it's now the part of the Inner Foundation, and we have supported 30 plus organizations, both nonprofit and for-profit organizations, addressing mental health with a primarily focus on this age group between 18 and 30 approximately, which is called emerging adults.
That is indeed very inspiring to know, Anika. And if you take into account your other backgrounds, from business to social impact, how have these experiences shaped your approach to mental well-being? When I ask this, I also consider the fact that you lead quite a busy life. So how do you manage?
That's a very good question, and of course, it's one thing is to talk about it and inspire others, and another thing is to actually practicing yourself, right? And I'm certainly in no way an expert in that. I think we, I mean, I think it's the personal perspective, it's how I kind of want to lead this organization, the Inner Foundation, but also how we can inspire the organization that we support in, because these are our leaders doing maybe nonprofit amazing work, or they are an early stage company that's just building up something, and they really, really are passionate about what they do, meaning they work a lot of hours, and it's so easy, even though they actually work with this issue of mental health support one way or another to forget your own or your team. So I think one thing is, of course, to talk about it, to like, you know, put it in wording and addressing it. It could be everything from actually every meeting that we start, like weekly meetings. And I'm also now trying to incorporate that in the number of boards I'm on, to sort of have a circle of asking, we have two questions, what's on your mind and what's in your heart. So you do a check-in in meetings with those two questions. And it's not like everyone is speaking for 15 minutes each. It's like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes per participants in the meeting to ask sort of what's in your mind, what's on your heart. And it's actually a way of kind of ground yourself into that meeting that you're about to enter. And knowing that if you can just get something out of your head, maybe you can be more present. And we also know then the collective of that meeting, we know what people are coming in with. And then you start the meeting and you are as professional, as sort of focusing on the task of the meeting. But that's a way of creating a community and sort of an awareness of what people are coming in with. So that's a small thing, but I think it's really, and as easy as it sounds, it could be really, you know, dramatic in some meetings, I can assure you, to sort of address this problem, this way of start kicking off a meeting. And then, of course, I never been a big on yoga, and people keep telling me you should really do that, Annika, because you're so stressed all the time. But I have my thing. I walk, I spend time in nature. I love spending time in Bhutan. So I put myself in the kayak, or I take a walk, or I'm, you know, working on you know, how in my breathing and small things. And especially now, when the world is a little bit upside down, it is important. It is actually very important to address the inner work as you do as an individual. And I'm on a constant learning journey to find my way of doing it. So the awareness, everything, all change starts with awareness. I'm really aware when I'm much more present and much more able to take on hard issues if I also do a little bit of inner work daily. And I'm working on it. I really am.
Annika, thank you for your message that vulnerability is not weakness. It's just human. We are just human. We got to go easy on ourselves, right?
Yes, and that's so true.
I must also mention this, that I am not sure if it is Inner Foundation's tagline or mission statement, that is building an inner foundation for an outer world worth living in. I find that it perfectly sums and aligns with what Inner Foundation is all about. Mm. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. No, I think it's, and that's clear, that conversation, I think, becoming more and more important. That is not, I just want to add that, it's not just an individual issue to take care of your own inner work. It's also from a sort of a systemic perspective, that inner work is about individuals, but it's also about communities. This is not something you can do, you should do when you have an extra minute or two. This is something that actually should be prioritized in your work and in organizations. And I think for some time it's been a little bit like an exclusive group that can do that. And you talk about everything from journaling 4 hours a day to going to retreats. And I think that's not what it is for me. For me, it's about finding your own way of working with your inner you. And I think it's important to use the language that, because this is actually for everyone. So use languages that are more inclusive than and including some other wordings that are sometimes used when you talk about inner work, if that makes sense.
It totally does, Annika. I totally agree. And I love how Inner Foundation reimagines mental health through the lens of community and compassion, right? And since we're discussing mental health, I must highlight the wonderful works here in Bhutan by the PEMA Secretariat, which you're well aware.
Yes.
You also got the opportunity to... I mean, since you had interactions with some of the officials here, you must have also sensed that there's a growing recognition of the importance of mental health in Bhutan. Mm. And it was Her Majesty who proclaimed that mental health will have the national priority it deserves. While I was researching for our episode today, I also came to learn that Funding for mental health in Bhutan has increased by more than 40 times as compared to 2020 and 2021 after the establishment of the Pema Secretariat. That is Bhutan Central Agency for Mental Health Promotion and Services, which was established under the compassionate leadership of Her Majesty. So that was very heartening to know. I think it is it is a huge milestone for us. So in this context, Anika, in what ways do you see mental well-being as an essential part of leadership and national progress? Why should we consider inner well-being a national priority, especially in shaping leaders and systems, system of a nation?
And to start with, I'm very impressed with Her Majesty the Queen and the founding and the work that the Pima Secretary are doing. And I think the leadership of Her Majesty, I think, is crucial for doing the work, because we have to remember that mental health also surrounding with a lot of stigma. And the definition of mental health can mean quite different things for many people. So I think it's important, and I think Her Majesty the Queen is showing the way by bringing it up and talking about it and having official members of the government in Bhutan to sort of talk about it, and then goes to people like yourself at the RIGS and bring it up as a conversation, an open conversation about mental health. Because the thing is with mental health that it could really, if it affects all of us. We could be women or men, young or older, or rich or poor. It affects all of us. But if you then, in addition to that, are also having vulnerability, your war, despair, another sexual orientation or whatnot, it triples. So I think the starting point for this change to happen and bringing well-being and mental health into the sort of not to the sideline, but actually in the forefront of the conversation, it needs to be by awareness and talking about it openly. And I think Bhutan is clearly doing that. And I also think what's so unique with Bhutan is, of course, the Gross National Happiness Index. So you have it in the DNA of your country. Your values are so grounded. And of course, that's one of the reasons I really wanted to come and see your beautiful country. So I think that's a good base for mental health, but it's certainly not going to solve it all. So when we're talking well-being or mental health, one thing is, of course, to see that we are not suffering, meaning we can heal from depression, anxiety, or whatnot. But I also think it's important to address it. It's not just about not being sick. It's about having the opportunity to thrive, to actually contribute to society at large. And I think it's important to address mental health from an opportunity perspective and from a hope perspective, versus only from how can we not sort of suffer from the different mental health issues. So at the Inner Foundation, we really try to address these issues and this problem from the perspective of hope. I also think that we have to think about mental health not only as something that it's part of the healthcare system. It's also about the education system, the workforce system. So I think having leaders that are grounded enough so they can actually talk about their own well-being and their own struggles, but also having the strength and to actually ask others how they are doing. Because I think it's actually almost like if you are a middle manager or a manager in an organization, so sort of having the feeling that you can ask, it's almost like three basic questions. It's like, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do? And the third one is actually having the knowledge to know when you can do something as a manager or when you should actually refer out to a specialist. Because it's not that you are a manager and you're supposed to be a therapist or a psychologist at the same time. But having a culture in your organization, because mental health is culture. It is actually about having an open conversation about how are you doing? And listen, actively listen to what the other person is saying.
Anika, that is a very interesting perspective. What you are trying to say is that mental well-being is not just a personal matter. It is a foundation for effective leadership and national development. That's a very
Yes.
pertinent point. And Anika, how can people reconnect with themselves and find balance in today's fast-paced digital world?
Well, isn't that a questions that we all are have to ask ourselves? And I think we have different ways of doing it. And there's a lot of, you've probably seen it as well, there's a lot of conversation about, I mean, of course, AI, it's a big conversation to have. I know you had a podcast not long ago about AI. And I think we see a lot of AI company in the mental health space. And there's some amazing, interesting early stage company addressing AI as a companion or support. Just think about it. You wake up, you're a young person, wake up 4 o'clock in the morning feeling that you have an anxiety attack or really are struggling with something that seems really, really rough at 4 o'clock in the morning. And now there are some good AI solutions that could be that companion that can actually, help you maybe get some breathing exercise or giving you advice. And I'm, as long as they're good enough and they are sort of, you can trust them, it's actually a very good support and accessible support for the many people, because we have to remember that accessibility is a big question here, because there's some studies coming out not long ago saying that approximately something between 10 and 15% of all of us are has accessibility for proper mental health support. And the rest actually has very little or nothing. And approximately 50% of those who has no access don't are not even aware that there is some support out there for them. And I think that's important to understand that, because that's, of course, maybe it's the best thing would be to have one-to-one therapy or having a human that you can talk to. Who train as a therapist or as a psychologist, but that's not the situation. We have to be aware of that. So I think AI plays an important role to create workable solutions, very accessible and very affordable. And I think that's important to add to the conversation. But we also know that what creates part of this big problem of your mental health is also the lack of connections. Loneliness is something that it's really creates a lot of mental health issues. To not having the idea that not having people around you that supports you. And you may not call that mental health, but it is actually to have, you don't need a bunch of people, but you need a few. You need to be able to feel heard to listen to, and have people in your life that help you from the feeling of loneliness. That's really important.
Anika, when you mention about leveraging AI as your emotional supporter, it reminds me about the book Digital Dharma by Dr. Deepak Chopra, where he discusses on how we can really use AI for a good purpose. And that's a point worth highlighting. Thank you very much. This brings to my final question, Anika. For those who may be silently struggling with mental health challenges, whether it's anxiety, burnout, stress, feelings of isolation, or just general sense of, being overwhelmed, what advice would you offer?
Depending on the level of how severe the situation is, if you really think there is that you're thinking about sort of suicidal thoughts or intrusive thoughts, you should of course immediately reach out for emergency support. Yes, I want to make sure that that's very clear. If there are other things of feeling lonely or struggling with every day, I think again the accessibility of proper support in the healthcare system is really important. But if you model that you feel like you're having a hard time, you're not afraid that you are going to do something really awful, but you need, I think, to sort of bring it up and talk to people, because you can be quite sure that you are not alone. And that goes to knowing that building up your social life, so you have a few people that you feel like you're close to, that you can always bring it up and talk to. It's important. Sharing it with somebody is always helpful, and having trustful people in your life that you can do that with is of course important. And then some people listen to music. There are good apps when you can sort of have breathing exercises. So there are quite a few things you can do, and especially if you're starting to know yourself, knowing that there are triggers for your own anxiety level to go up. But I think that's the number one advice is to talk to somebody.
Nico, thank you very much for an engaging and insightful discussion. I'm always in awe of you and all the work that you continue to do. Thank you and keep inspiring. And thank you for your time, Anika.
Thank you so much.